Please rise for the processional hymn, number 279, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Seated. I'm really loud, so. The brief order for confession and forgiveness according to our bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. I'll strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Amen. Please rise. Lyndon, walk back there and get those two girls a bulletin, please, or give them yours. Thank you. They're looking at me like, I don't know what's going on. Okay, we're right in the middle of that one page, girls. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our sin, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The hymn of praise today is 51, My Soul Proclaims Your Greatness. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Okay, the prayer of the day together. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that binds us, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. first lesson today, the book of Micah, chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, that you who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he to the ends of the earth. And he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 rulers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, our next reading is from Luke. We'll read it responsively. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors and his descendants forever. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'See, I have come to do your will, O God.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'See, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Please rise for the gospel. The gospel for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name indeed. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
This morning's sermon is based on the nativity account from Luke chapters 1 and 2. That's why the other chapter is in your bulletin. An angel tells a young girl about a child. A young girl visits her cousin, and they speak of children. A child is born. Children teach us about God. What does God look like? A kindergarten teacher was observing her students as they drew pictures. As she got to one little girl who was working diligently, she asked what the drawing was. The little girl replied, "I'm drawing God." And said, "But no one knows what God looks like." Without missing a beat or even looking up, the girl replied, "They will in a minute." It's true, no one knows what God looks like. But children telling the nativity story gives us a glimpse of God. And maybe God planned for children to be Christmas. After all, he never rebuked a child. Adults, most definitely and quite frequently. But children, he said, exemplified our way to heaven. And why not? Who of us cannot see ourselves there in the nativity scene and not be moved? Somewhere deep down, we recognize that Mary is a nobody, Joseph is not especially important, the plain folk, the wise men are the kind of individuals that get used by powerful people, and the innkeeper, well, he's one of the minor characters of the nativity. If only he had known what God looked like. But Christ, after all, did come in a manner completely unexpected. Would we have recognized him in a feed trough in Bethlehem? Or maybe an abandoned barn in Idaho? What if, instead of 2,000 years ago, Jesus were to be born today in southeast Idaho? It's not much different than Judea. It's a high, windswept plain, sparsely populated, agriculture and ranching area, and bitterly cold in the winter. Me for a moment. You know how the story begins, and it came to pass in those days. A small, rural Idaho community in the dead of winter. A storm has been threatening all day, and as the sun begins to set, it unleashes in all its fury. Stores and businesses close their doors, and the town and its inhabitants head for the warmth of their homes. The roads are impassable, and a couple are forced to seek shelter in the small town. They are not wealthy. The man is a self-employed carpenter. Their vehicle is old, its tires have little tread, and a heater that only works sporadically. The darkness and the cold permeate the vehicle, and the young woman begins of distress. "Joe," she says, "we need help. The baby is coming." The man can find no hospital or motel in the small town. In desperation, he stops at a house along the main street to ask for help. Acutely aware of his appearance as he moves up the walk, he knows he has no choice. He rings the doorbell, sees the blinds part, but no one answers. He returns to the car and says, "We'll try another place." The second house looks more inviting, he tells himself. Surely they will assist him. As the door opens, the aroma of the family dinner almost makes him faint. They have been traveling for several days, and the little food that they began their journey with is long since gone. The woman in the doorway obviously wishes she hadn't answered, and standing behind her is her husband, noticeably annoyed at the interruption. They see a middle-aged, disheveled man with unruly hair and a wild-looking beard. The husband gruffly asks, "What do you want?" "The storm has forced us off the road and we need help," Joe says. "My wife is going to have a baby." The wife notices the very young girl in the car and immediately discounts the story. The husband says, "There's nothing for you in this town," and closes the door. Looking at her husband, the wife says, "I wonder what that was all about. Why would that old man have that young pregnant girl? I think we should call the sheriff and at least let the neighborhood know. It's terrible what goes on." Mary is anxious, and Joe tries to calm her and not show his own worry. The storm is worsening. The snow is deepening. Joe stops at the only convenience store in town. Haggard and despondent, he enters the store. The clerk looks at the bedraggled man, wondering if he's about to be robbed. Joe relates his situation once again, and as the clerk is about to tell him to leave, he looks out at the car, and something about the young girl catches his eye. He tells the man, "There's an old shed on the edge of town. You could pull your car in there until the storm is over." And then, without really knowing why, he adds, "There's some outdated milk and food in the garbage behind the store." Our modern-day Holy Family is forced to find shelter wherever they can. And in this condition, Jesus would be born, not in a state-of-the-art medical facility, but in a rundown barn without hope of prosperity. And the little family would soon become undocumented immigrants as they're forced to flee to a foreign land for safety. "If only I had known what you looked like, God, I would not have angrily asked what you wanted. I would not have said those mean things about you. I would not have turned you away. If only I'd have known what you looked like." We are not the sinister characters in this modern nativity story, just the oblivious. We live our lives casual, abrupt, and we are the innkeepers. And in our defense, being on the spiritual welcoming committee is and never has been an easy task. Who or what should we be waiting for, we might ask? Refugees, perhaps, from lands far different than our own? Homeless beggars at freeway on-ramps? Should we look for him in courtrooms or war zones? What is our role in the ongoing nativity story? What does God look like? This Jesus that we follow was born a homeless traveler whose family struggled to find welcome. This Jesus that we follow lived and ministered in poverty. This Jesus that we followed offered to his compassion, saying, "What you have done to the least of these, you have done to me." St. John's children offered us the nativity message for the 115th time last Sunday. Christmas is for children, and children all over the world will once again teach us a simple lesson. And I offer one more account, and this is true. A group of 4-year-old preschoolers are presenting a pageant. Miniature costumes have been donned, parts have been memorized, and the excitement is captivating. Everything is moving smoothly until Mary and Joseph arrive at the inn. "Do you have any room for us?" asks Joseph. "The inn is full," replies the innkeeper. "But it's cold outside, and my wife is going to have a baby," pleads 4-year-old Joseph. "Don't you have a place for us?" To the surprise of the teachers and the audience, instead of showing the couple to the stable, the tiny innkeeper pauses, looks wistfully at the couple, and then announces compassionately, "I'm not supposed to say this, but you folks come right on in." Near the end of the book of Luke, God advises us, "Be on your guard." That seemingly odd advice as we anticipate Christmas. Still, especially for innkeepers, perhaps it is good advice after all. Amen.
Our hymn of the day is number 290, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Please rise for the confession of faith in the Apostles' Creed and for the prayer. The confession of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence. God, our uniter, increase communication and cooperation in our relationships with those of other traditions and religions. Root your church in the radical message of your incarnation and enable us to pursue our justice in the world. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. God, our creator, we pray for the beauty that surrounds us. Awaken in us a renewed sense of care for the wildlife in our communities. Form us into faithful stewards of what you have made. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. God, our sovereign, Mary proclaims a new way of life that lifts up the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. Nurture in local governments and municipalities a desire to care for all who are overlooked and ignored. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. God, our beacon, as the northern hemisphere begins its toward more daylight, remind us that even in the deepest nights, you are there. Comfort the lonely and the bereaved. Hold closely the frightened, anxious, depressed, and ill, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. Lord, in our prayer, or in your mercy, God, our guide, shepherd the leadership of this congregation, bless the council and staff in discerning future ministry, and open their hearts to the voices of the community. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. God, our life, you remember the promise to your people. In gratitude for those who have died, we praise you for your faithfulness throughout the history. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all, and also with you. Please join in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Anybody want to come up and have a children's sermon?
Come on and sit with me. Nobody? Nobody? Maddie, Brody, no? Big no? Brody, you had the good answers last week. Remember we were talking about the commandments? What's the first one? It's the fun one. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods. What's the second one? Even Ashlyn and Ari wanted to get a snuggle. Awesome. Second one. This is Patty's one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. No using God's name as a cuss word. The third one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what can we do on the Sabbath? wife's not here to tell us nothing. We can go to church and remember that this is God's day, right? Okay, the fourth one. This is Brody's favorite. Honor your father and your mother, and my grandparents, and the grandparents, right? So number five is what? Who knows? Somebody out there, tell me what's number five.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill, right? What does that mean?
Kill anybody.
Don't kill anybody, yeah. That's pretty much a law, right? God had a big law. Don't kill. But there's also things we need to do. Think about there. God wants us to preserve everything living. People, animals, plants. Why do you think he wants us to keep animals and plants alive? Why? They can be helpful, yes. We want to keep all those things alive so that they can be helpful, right? We eat plants and animals, so I guess eventually they get killed. But I think that's how God intended for us, right? But definitely no killing people. Now I want you to come next Sunday because it's a big one, and I bet you guys, every one of you answered that question. Go home and look at that, number six. Sixth commandment. I bet you all know. Thanks for coming and snuggling me, all you guys. Did you listen to the sermon that Mrs. Meadows did?
Yes.
It was a great sermon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was. Yep. I thought it was the best for Christmas time. All righty, get out of here.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Thomas Kress. Happy birthday this week to Danielle Norlin, Lee Kaysen, Larry Sims, Sawyer Grover, Brenda Carter, Michael Gallegos, Jameson Taylor, and Jacqueline Taylor. Happy anniversary this week to Jim and Debbie Teedy. Are there any other announcements not found? Nope. All righty. The offering will be collected at this time. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Our recessional hymn is number 289, Angels We Have Heard on High. Thanks be to God.